Radio.
Do doctors have a right to object? An interview on conscientious objection with Dr. Bernadette Tobin. So I'm joined today by Dr. Bernadette Tobin, who is the director of the Plunkett Centre for Ethics, which is a joint operation between St. Vincent's Hospital in Sydney and Australian Catholic University. So thank you for joining me, Dr. Bernadette.
That's a pleasure, Luke, and call me Bernadette.
Bernadette, all right, not a problem. Now, what I want to start out with was that Tasmanian and Victorian legislation on abortion has sought to restrict, I guess is the term I would use, the freedom of a medical practitioner to refuse participation in procedures like abortion. An example of this might be in the Tasmanian law, which went through late last year, that a practitioner must participate in what it considers to be an emergency situation, or in cases that aren't emergencies, they must refer to someone who doesn't have their conscientious objection. Now, how should we in the public approach this as voters? And how should medical practitioners approach this if they aren't compatible with this law?
Look, I think it raises a more general question about what's the proper role of respect for conscientious judgment in the professions. It raises that question more generally. And it's not just our own code of ethical standards for Catholic health and aged care services in Australia, which recognises the importance of respect for conscientious objection. So too do documents like the Australian Medical Council's Guide for Medical Practitioners. It too recognises the importance of respect for conscientious judgment. So that's number one. I think the question is, what should the law say about this? What is it reasonable? When is it reasonable to compel a doctor to do what she thinks is wrong? When is that reasonable? And perhaps there are circumstances, but we need to think carefully about them. So when I give my talk in the next couple of weeks, one of the things that I will do will be to suggest to the audience a little thought experiment that was put up recently by Dr. Daniel Sulmasy in the United States. And he said, imagine that we lived in a society in which the majority of people thought that female genital mutilation was a permissible procedure. They didn't see any ethical objection to it. They rather favoured it. But the majority of people felt that way. Now, say in such a society you had a doctor who had an objection, who just thought that procedure was wrong, that it shouldn't be done to women, and had a conscientious objection to taking part. So I think it's generally agreed that it's uncontroversial that the doctor should, the law should respect his conscientious judgment. But would it be reasonable for the law to say that he doesn't have to provide that service, but that if he's not prepared to provide it, he has an obligation, a legal obligation, to refer the people who want the service to a doctor he knows will provide it? And I like that thought experiment because what it does is it separates the issue of the ethics of termination of pregnancy from the issue of respect for conscientious objection. And if we are to think clearly about these matters, I think we need to distinguish those two issues.
No, that's a really good point. Just on that thought experiment that you mentioned there, do you think that that kind of exposes a bit of a flaw of attempting to try and incorporate, I guess, the consensus thought or the thought of the majority on the right or wrong of a certain procedure affecting the issue of conscientious objection?
Well, I think the thought experiment brings to the fore the question of what a decent society, a decent democratic, liberal, pluralist society, what its laws ought to be on this matter. And it invites us to focus on that question rather than on what the law should say about the legal permissibility of termination of pregnancy. They're two separate questions, and I think that a lot of the confusion about the proper scope and limits of respect for conscientious objection is actually generated by people thinking this is really a matter about what the law should say about abortion. It's not a question about what the law should say about abortion. It's a question about what the law should say about respect for conscientious judgment.
Do you think then that, I guess, governments and legislators are attempting to use this conscientious objection issue? They're trying to push it to one side or to make it buckle underneath what they consider to be the greater issue of, to use the example of abortion here, access of women to terminations?
Well, I think that there are different views at play here. I think some people are simply confused, that's true, running these two issues together. I think others are so dedicated to ensuring that termination of pregnancy is legally available that there are no encroachments on that score, that they do let it dominate their thinking about the other issue. And I think the challenge to them is that this looks like a very illiberal and unreasonable encroachment on the ability to make his or her own conscientious judgments of doctors.
I guess my next question would be, and for a legislator, would probably think this in attempting to consider this kind of issue, is why is conscientious objection important exactly? Why should a government not step on conscientious objection with issues that they consider to be important issues?
Well, look, I think that's a complex question. But if we limit it just to the role that the state should have in the practice of medicine, in the practice of the medical profession, then the state has traditionally, both lawmakers and judges, traditionally been very reluctant to intrude on the doctor-patient relationship. It's a little bit less reluctant to say, look, a doctor should not do this, than it has been to order a doctor positively to do something. But traditionally, the state has been very reluctant to intrude on that relationship because the relationship is a professional one between doctor and patient.
So I guess my next question would be, and a legislator would possibly have this question as well, is what is the limit to a conscientious objection, to a reasonable conscientious objection? Can a doctor simply object to any procedure that they like?
Well, look, I think that's a hard question and there's no general answer. But say that a doctor said that he didn't like Italians, so he wasn't prepared to treat them. Or he didn't like Irishmen, he wasn't prepared to treat them. And imagine that the doctor has a position in an emergency facility. In particular, one in which it's located in a community where there are lots of Italians. But his is a prejudice against Italians, which he says is a conscientious objection to looking after them. Now, I think that's arguably gone beyond the limits of what a decent society has to tolerate. And I guess you can imagine that that kind of prejudice, it's unlikely to play out with respect to Italians or Irishmen, but it might play out with respect to, I don't know, Australian Aborigines, or, I don't know, people of a different skin colour. So I think that there's an example of something that it would be unreasonable of the doctor to say, look, that's an expression of my conscientious judgment, and you ought to leave me. The law must not intrude on that and force me to take care of Italians or Irish, whatever it is.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that, Bernadette. You've given myself, and I'm sure our listeners, a lot to think about. Now, you will be speaking in the following month for the Order of Malta, which you are a member of.
That's right.
On this topic and on other topics, can you tell me a little bit of a preview of what you'll be speaking about there?
Well, I think what I'll do, Luke, is I'll just run through some of the currently hot topics in bioethics. And there's a whole lot of them. And then what I will do is to draw attention to the resources that the culture has for thinking about these pressing bioethical questions. And then I'll evaluate those resources and say, look, I think they're only part of what we need, and there's a bunch of other ideas in our Catholic Christian tradition that provide much better resources for sorting out some of these difficult issues.
Well, that sounds good, and I hope to be able to come along. So I hope to see you there.
Good,
and
Luke.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good, Luke. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Bernadette. God bless. That was an interview with Dr. Bernadette Tobin. For more about her upcoming lecture for the Order of Malta, and for more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.